This is my daddy's sermon on the Psalms. Life's not good. Enjoy it.
Our scripture passage for today is Psalm 13, a psalm of disorientation. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Join me in prayer. God, hear the prayers of our hearts. Hear our aches. Hear our groans. Hear our pains. Hear our questions. Be with us through this journey, through the Psalms. Guide us, comfort us. Help us to see your love all around us. And all God's people said, amen. So it's been a tough week for the rifle community. As many of you know, Steve Chesley was in a tragic bike accident that ended his life. Many of you also know that Marge Oberholzer, a beloved member here of many, many years, has passed away. And also a good friend, family that attends here regularly, the Riemann family, Jen, had surgery on her shoulder only to find out after months of pain and a week of recovery that the doctors didn't find anything when they operated on her this week. We all journey with the ache. And the Psalms are spiritual food for us in this great journey that we have together. As I was reflecting on what to say this week, a friend of mine said, Dale, you've got to listen to Ben Howard. He is a singer-songwriter. And as I listen to the songs over and over again, there's one song in particular called The Wolves. The song begins by his a cappella voice almost shouting, crying out. Now, it's in a melody, a harmony, but you just sense the pain and the ache within his voice. Then the guitar and the drums start. It's up-tempo, incredibly up-tempo, and it seems jarring compared to that crying out that he did. And then he begins to sing, and he says, falling from high places, falling through lost spaces, now that we are lonely, now that there's nowhere to go, watching from both sides, these clock towers burning up. I lost my time here. I lost my patience with it all. And then the chorus of the song says, we lost faith in the arms of love. It's the type of song that just makes you say, oh, it gets you right in the gut. But that's not even the half of it. Then all of a sudden he says this, where you been hiding lately? Where you been hiding from the news? Because we've been fighting lately. We've been fighting with the wolves. This is not directed to us. It's directed to God. He brings his pain, his ache directly to God. Where have you been hiding lately? We've been fighting with the wolves. The wolves is sort of code words for the incoherence of our world, the chaos, the brokenness, the things he can't comprehend, like world poverty, like diseases, like tragedies that shake us. It's like Lindsay McLean's painting this morning. You can see it's fragmented, it's dark, it's dreary, it lacks, it screams at us of a sense of meaninglessness and lack of hope. The song goes on. It says, falling from high places, falling through lost spaces, now that we are lonely, now that there's nowhere to go, watching from both sides, these towers been tumbling down. I lost my mind here. I lost my patience with the Lord. He names it courageously, boldly. He names what all of us were thinking. Where is God in all of this? I lost my patience with the Lord. In all the chaos, in all the upheaval, in all the confusion, he's able to boldly tell us, I lost my patience with the Lord. This line echoes throughout the song. And then all of a sudden, something unexpected happens. The song stops. And I look at my iPhone, and it tells me that that song has 1 minute and 30 seconds left. But there's this silence. Silence is not something we like. It's quiet. It forces us to look inside ourselves, to talk to God about what is angering, upsetting, frustrating us. We'll get back to how that song ends. But when I think about that song, and when I think about the Psalms of disorientation, I can't help but think that there's a similarity here. In Psalm 13, it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Now see, the song says, I lost my patience with the Lord. The psalmist, the poet of God, skips that step and goes right to God. How long, O Lord? Courageously voicing the question we all said, directing the poet's question right to God. There's a sense of intimacy in that question. There's a sense of this poet is unafraid to give it to God. Then, verse 2, how long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? This psalmist, this poem, is not afraid to ask the tough questions to God. In the center of the Bible is a book of poems that ask God the deepest questions, that free us to ask God the deepest of questions. The painful things we go to can be addressed to God, no matter what, no matter where we are. Questions are welcome as we journey with the ache and with God. The psalm continues and it says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. The poet is so distraught by the lack of coherence in his or her life that he says, I am about to die unless you help me out of this. Then it says, and my enemy will say I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. The psalm asks us to pause. It asks us to embrace the darkness within ourselves, to embrace those deep questions that we all have about God, about life, about justice. So we pause and we create this space in our life where it's okay for us to question. It's okay for us to take a deep breath and to allow the questions to come. I have a really good friend named Jason Stutzman, and about 9 years ago, they gave birth to a little daughter, and her name is Natalie, and she has two fingers and a shortened arm on her right, and she has four fingers on her left. The doctors call it a genetic abnormality. Now, when this happened, of course, she was born prematurely. Of course, they were in and out of the hospital for over a year. You can imagine the type of pain, the type of heartache that my friend and his wife, Rachel, faced. They were saying with one another, how long, O Lord? Why, O Lord, did this have to happen to us? And in that space, in that moment of just darkness, and they embraced it, but they noticed that other people kept trying to pull them out of that darkness. They received cards. A lot of cards talk to them about God's plan in this pain. And, you know, if they only pray or if they only come back to church, then they'll all of a sudden feel better. But that didn't help my friends. What they needed was a card that said Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will this be like this forever? What they needed from the faith community is to allow them a space, allow them time to mourn. God in the Psalms gives us time to mourn. God tells us this is a natural and normal part of a faith life. It is faithful to doubt, to question, to allow yourself the space to mourn these bitter, hard things that we all face. My friends also received a book from some well-meaning people, and the book basically just told them, the thesis of the book was why people suffer injustice and pain and genetic abnormalities is because you didn't pray enough. Ouch, right? You heard it, right? We can be so insensitive, not willing to put up with people when they're in that space of pain, that we say things that are hurtful to them. The Christian faith is not like that. The Christian faith gives us permission to mourn, to weep, to wail, to cry out when things are wrong. And in fact, there's a Jewish practice. It's called sitting Shiva. When someone dies or when a tragedy occurs, the community of Jews get together and whoever's grieving, whether that's a wife or a husband or a friend, and they go over to his house and for a week long, they sit with them. Sitting Shiva. They don't try to rationalize what happened. They don't give easy, cheesy answers. They sit in silence with their friend who is mourning. They sit and they sit and they listen. Because the Psalms of disorientation don't invite us to give easy answers. They invite our presence. They invite God's presence so that we can listen to our souls, be honest with the movement of our own hearts. And then, a long time ago, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which translates, my God, why have you forsaken me? This comes from another psalm of disorientation, Psalm 22. The Lord, the King, the Rabbi, the one we look to model our life off of, embraced a life of disorientation. He allowed himself to ask God deep questions about why things are the way they are. So shouldn't we be okay? Shouldn't we embrace the darkness? Knowing that we don't know when we are going to come out of that darkness, but we know the God of steadfast love. That song by Ben Howard, after the silence, he picks up his guitar again and he strums that beautiful rhythm and he sings aloud, "Love, love, love." It echoes back to us in the song and he sings it again, "Love, love, love." And it echoes back to us. He does it 10 times. I think it's a prayer. It's a hope. That in midst of all the disorientation, in midst of the murk and the messiness of life, the hope of love, the hope of God's love can meet us, can lift us, can move us beyond this space of disorientation when we are ready. My friend Jason told me just about a year ago that his passion in life was being a good dad to his two daughters. And I've seen them. They do these really funny things that, you know, you're kind of like, what are you doing? But it's really beautiful. When I've watched Natalie grow up, and when she was really little, she would fall, Rachel and Jason would clap. And at first I thought, how strange, pick that poor little girl up, right? But they would clap because they knew that she needed to learn to get up to remember that she is normal, just like everybody else. So when you're at their house, when you're hanging out, every time she falls, mom and dad are just hooting and hollering. She gets this little glimmer in her face. She gets back up right away. And they did that for year in and year out. That little girl has no problem getting up. That little girl is empowered to be all that she can be. They've taught her how to play soccer, and she is awesome on the soccer field. They've taught her how to read, how to write. They're committed to her leading a normal life. They have walked through the valley of disorientation and found something new on the other side. Because we don't walk from mountaintop to mountaintop. The Psalms teach us that most of life is in the valley. And if we neglect the valley, we neglect becoming the people God wants us to be. And Just this summer, I was sitting at my living room table with Natalie, and here's the other thing she can do. So she's what I call Cliff Notes Plus. She can tell you the last book she read, all the characters, all the plot, all the complications, why the plot is wrong and how the characters could be increased, and why she'll read this book again or why she won't read this book again. An hour lecture on any book she read, she can give to you at any moment. She's an incredible young girl. And her dad and mom have loved her so well. So, in the midst of disorientation, in the midst of the questions and the pain and the sorrow, there is these glimmers in the background, colors of hope that are coming out. But we can't skip this space of being honest with our souls. We stay in this moment. And then, when we are ready, only when we are ready, we say with one another the end of that beautiful God poem. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen.